Well, we have Commissioner Hughley in studio with us today, and Joe, quite an honor for you a couple of weeks ago. Well, I guess if you're good at something, or at least, you know, people think you're good enough to get reelected several times, you end up with 40 years of service to the county, and you got to be pretty proud of that. But I'm guessing if I asked you if they had told you right the first time you were elected 40 years ago, if you're going to 40 years later to be in the same position, you probably said, no way, Jose, right?
That's putting it very mildly.
You didn't have any intention of serving even close to 40 years, I'm sure.
No, I didn't even think about my second term, actually. just seems like, you know, when you're going to school, each school year seems so long. Then when you get out of school and go to college, oh my gosh, that happened so quick.
Yeah.
You look at your married life. You look at having kids, and then they're through school.
Right.
It just, you know, it seems like it's a blink of an eye, and this literally does seem that way. I mean, it's not something I sit around thinking about every year. Well, this is year 33. Well, I'm on, you know, you just go and do your job. And yeah, no, I would have never thought that. It certainly wasn't my intention, but it's really been a pleasure to serve. I'd mentioned I received some nice calls and recognition from friends of the past. One that probably meant as much to me as anything was a call and a little letter I got from Bill McGann. And for those of you that may not know Bill and Marilyn McGann, probably have given more to North Platte and to the Catholic school system than I could ever give to this area in 10 lifetimes. And, you know, they do it humbly, and they never have or seek recognition. So when somebody like that recognized you, it really meant a lot because, you know, they've just been a mainstay of this community and continue to be. So, yeah, that makes it special when that things like that can happen. Sure.
Yeah, and it's a tremendous honor, too, when people keep re-electing you and they're saying, we think you're doing a good job. We like you in there. We think you represent us well.
I think they're maybe just thinking, well, maybe this next time he'll learn and he'll get it right, right?
They're giving you more chances correct mistakes. That's the way to look at it, for sure. Well, it was a tremendous honor. Telegraph had a nice
write
up in there, too. Nice picture. It's always nice to get recognized. And like you said, if you can do it humbly, then definitely that makes it extra special. It's not like you set out to get awards, and that's kind of my mantra, according to, you know, athletes that I'm kind of drawn to are the ones that don't seek attention. They're not out to get the big awards and everything. They're just doing the best they can to help their team, and I like people like that. I can relate to people like that. You know,
it's not. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's not about getting attention. It's about serving. And you certainly have shown that attitude. So let's step into the board meeting yesterday and discuss some things. It was pretty routine. This is about as routine of an agenda and about as light as you're ever going to get for board meeting, right?
It was. We're sort of a little, I guess you could say, break between our Board of Equalization meetings and tax protests. Finishing up a week or two ago and just starting into our budget year, we given sort of a first glance at some budget documents that the county clerk could help prepare. Next week we'll see some numbers, hopefully, from Susan Moline, who is our accountant that works with us on the budget preparation. And she's actually waiting for some valuation numbers from Julie Stinger, the county assessor, but I think that we'll at least have a good idea with some preliminary numbers next year, next week, and we can start in earnest on our budget for next year. It'll be a real learning experience because this is the first year for a new, quote, budget system that the legislature passed into law that took effect January 1 of this year. When I first came on the board in 85, you know, we had no limits then. You know, the taxing entity was really a lot different then. We had personal property tax that we paid back then, which you know, wedding rings, which 99% of the married people just didn't have a wedding ring, which seemed unusual for tax purpose. But, you know, so it's evolved. Yeah. And then we went under a 50-cent lid. Then about 20, 25 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, we went under a not just only the 50-cent lid, but a 3% lid, 2.5 plus 1. Now we're not under a lid anymore. It's under a budget restriction that, you know, we used to take advantage, a great deal of advantage of interlocal agreements, you know, joint purchases. If we could purchase gasoline, for example, with the city of North Platte jointly, and because of the bulk buy, save a little bit of, you know, a quarter of a cent a gallon or something, and then we would do that. Mm-hmm. This takes away some of those incentives, which I kind of hate to see. But it's the rules that we're working under now. We're all learning, and along with Susan, so we'll do the best we can, get this budget put together, and it'll be sort of a work in progress until that time. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. Of course, you know, the money you collect is through the what property is assessed at, and, mm-hmm. and what you get people paying in on those valuations too. You have tight guardrails really on what you can spend. You set your budget, and you have percentages of what comes in that you can spend on each, right?
So that's correct. And you know the thing that's interesting is of the tax dollars collected by the county treasurer, you know, probably maybe 20-25% of those go to the county. Because we also collect taxes for the schools, for the city, for all of the NRDs, for the cemetery districts, on and on. And so when people see a tax bill, sometimes it's a little, it can be deceiving. So we need to make sure that we look down and see which entity it is that, you know, where those property tax requests are coming from. But, you know, it's, I think we've really done a good job, I think, in the past, and along with all of the elected officials for Lincoln County, trying to be, you know, frugal with the people that we work for, but at the same time do the job that we need to do. You know, we have infrastructure that we need to keep up, and there's nothing worse, in my opinion, than letting something get run down and then spending twice as much money to actually try to get that build up, because then at that point you're borrowing from another fund somewhere else, and you're just digging that hole a little deeper. So we've always tried to, you know, make it a pay-as-you-go, save some dollars, and when we get there, get that project done, moved on to the next one. So
it's all hinges on prioritizing what gets priority, you know. And certainly, you talked about roads, infrastructure is probably the biggest thing for you know, both the city and the county, money wise, and how you prioritize that. Right?
It is. Law enforcement is no small one either.
And law enforcement too. Yeah.
Courts. The courts are the courts. Are by law required to work with both the district and county courts on supplying, you know, certain things, and the cost in the courts we've seen probably increase more over the last 10 or 15 years than any other cost that I'm aware of as far as department wise.
Why is that?
A lot of it is mm-hmm. you know, either whether it's guardian ad litem, or, you know, we have to represent those that can't afford, you know, attorneys.
Okay.
And so there's just a lot of the cost for attorneys has risen substantially. And that's in no way a dig on our attorneys, because actually that work that they're doing is less than their regular hourly billing on other projects in their private practice. So it's not like they're really getting rich off of it, but it just there's just more and more demand from the courts. So I think that's the biggest part.
Okay. Just wondered about that.
Yep.
Let's go to the meeting here and highlight some things to let you comment on. And at the beginning, you appointed Jason Schultz as the Lincoln County Title VI coordinator.
Right, and that has to do with some civil rights with the Department of Labor. In the past, probably three or four that I can remember, maybe longer, our highway superintendent has always filled that role because there's a good number of those. Our biggest departments are roads and law enforcement. And it seems like that it would make sense to have one of those individuals be in charge of following up on those complaints that we may have, and to be that point person. And so we named Jason. And that's mostly because of his role as the Lincoln County Highway Superintendent. Mm-hmm.
Does the county get a lot of discrimination complaints?
Very few.
That's what I was thinking.
Very few, yeah.
Taking a lot of extra time to take care of, right?
But I'm sure it's something that they would probably rather not have on their plate, but you're correct, they are few, and you know, that's only, I think, because of good employees like Jason and other department heads and elected officials that we don't have, so, yeah.
So when a county does receive a discrimination complaint, how is that handled? I'm sure there are strict procedures and guidelines.
Depending on what the complaint is. The very first person we speak with is, it would probably at this point be Tyler Volkmer in the county attorney's office. Tyler is the deputy that works with not only the county board, but other county officials on, you know, civil matters.
Mm-hmm.
So we would get that department involved, and he would probably help direct that bus down the road. There's processes if it has to do with some other kind of complaints. We have a review board, a three-person review board,
mm-hmm.
that will make a finding, and that will come to the county board. The county board then on certain items will be the final arbitrator, if you will.
And you're trying to avoid litigation, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Settle it before, you know, it rises to the level where somebody thinks they need to sue the county.
Yeah,
actually
maybe not even the word settle it, but to see, you know, number one, is there a factual basis for whatever that complaint is? And we found out probably more times than not there hasn't been. I mean, I'm looking at my history on the board. And so sometimes you need to go to court. That really depends on the individual that's making that complaint. So I'm glad they're few and far between, but at least we do, you know, we do have to have that point person according to the federal government and mm-hmm. Title VI.
Okay. And then later on in the meat of the agenda here, you recognized National Emergency Management Awareness Month. I think we're all in these parts very aware of the role. Brandon's a guy, isn't he? Ahead of
he
that
really
department,
is.
And I've heard a lot of praise about him. Sometime we'll have to schedule him on Mugs and
talk
absolutely.
To him
a little bit. Yeah.
You know, Brandon's got a whole story. His mm-hmm. He devoted his whole life to public service. He was a police officer prior to doing this and probably would still be a police officer, but had a little bit of an injury that caused possibly some mobility issues and took this role on. And, wow, what a great person to have in there. And he has Joanna Lemoyne, an assistant that helps him, and he also has two other people that help him in remote jurisdictions in other counties. So, yeah, Brandon's a real asset in that department. Been there long enough, knows the job, and has the kind of personality that, you know, he is truly a servant. He works mm-hmm. with the people. You know, I can't even think of all the training that he and his people do, not only for people in the county offices, but for the county as a whole. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, great person. So Michaela did recognize him and his staff. They had a nice little certificate, had a couple little pins, and
mm-hmm.
More than anything else, just want to let people know that, you know, Brandon's there, give a call anytime. you know, with the, with some of the weather issues we've had with, you know, with whether that be fire or whatever it may be. If we served as a county board chair, we spent a lot of hours in that room, the public safety room down at the police station. Mm-hmm. And during those emergencies, and to watch those people work is incredible. It's mm-hmm. a real team.
There probably is a lot of things that most people would not guess that is under their auspices too, that they mm-hmm. that they have to handle, and like sirens in communities is one, and that came up in Hershey, I think, early on when we entered this season.
Good and the bad.
Yeah. And they're in charge. I mean, they're responsible to make sure, you know, the, yep. the sirens are in good working order all over the county, right?
Yeah. So, yep, big responsibility.
A lot of things like that. And as you said, fire is a big part of that, too, for sure, getting the word out and then responding to things that
they
happen.
They do a great job. They a lot of PSAs, a lot of training, and just, you know, sort of, I guess, like fire department, you know, just maybe hours of waiting, and then when it breaks loose, it breaks loose. So they're always prepared and do a great job.
Yeah, I'm sure he's happy whenever there's rain without the lightning that starts a fire and and without the flooding. Yeah, so good deal there. He discussed and considered authorizing the chair to execute the 2025-26 labor agreement with Fraternal Order of Police 26. Is this something you do every year?
Actually, every couple years. That really was a misprint. The entire board actually signs that. So the board did sign off on the FOP agreement. Myself and Commissioner Kent Weems are the negotiating team from the county. I've actually been on that committee every year that I've been in office. That's like 40 years. And we try to have a two-year contract whenever possible, because it seems like most of the issues, whether it be vacation or sick leave or whatever they may be, we try to get negotiated. Then the second year, have that merely be a cost of living allowance. And, you know, a couple of years ago, we had an anomaly that we had a real peak in the inflation, if you remember. And we, at that point, had 8%. As a cap in there. This year, right in July, the cost of living in the Kansas City region, the area that we use, was 2.65% for a COLA. So we proposed in negotiations 2-4. I think they originally started out with 8, and we weren't able to come to an agreement on that. So we decided this year we would make it a one-year agreement, and we'll renegotiate the contract again for next year instead of a two-year, and having that second year just be the cost mm-hmm. of living. We'll actually open the contract up for negotiations again next year.
One question that just popped into my head, does this cover both the local police department and sheriff's office, or just we're talking sheriff's office?
Sheriff's office only, FOP 26, and then the city negotiates their contract with police.
That's what I was thinking. Uh-huh. That it was considered separate entities that respect, because of who is over them, basically. Okay. You discussed a resolution addressing rules and regulations for Lincoln County board meetings.
Well, that's been something that mm-hmm. we've been working on for, you know, a year and a half. And it's sort of been sitting in limbo for the last 6 or 8 months. Mm-hmm. And brought it to a forefront. Myself and Commissioner Bruns are the committee that came up with those recommendations for the board to review. Mm-hmm. I tried to take some model procedures that other counties had, maybe glean some mm-hmm. of the best of each one, try to put together something that made sense for our meetings, and as well as looking what we had done historically in our meetings, came up with a proposed draft document that the entire board had a chance to look at over the last couple of weeks. We had those discussions Monday, had a great discussion. A lot of good ideas came out of that, and some things were stricken from that draft, some added and sent back out to the board for their review this coming week. So I think that we probably, if I'm not mistaken, I think maybe Commissioner Bruns will not be there next week, so I'd ask that that be put off until the following week before we take a look at that again. Mm-hmm. So just operating procedures, how we do it, public comment, is that going to be at the beginning of the meeting, at the end of the meeting? How do you handle public hearings, elections of officers, those kinds of things? So
probably just a little tweaks here, nothing.
Yes.
No great changes in how you conduct your meetings.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. And does this just pertain for commissioner meetings?
It does.
Ben?
It just for commissioner meetings and commissioners, although it also applies to commissioners at other meetings, whether they be chance meetings, workshops, other public meetings, who can attend and when can they attend. So, yeah. But it only applies to the county board itself. And, yes.
Okay. All right. That answered my question there. Anything else come out of the committee reports or anything else you wanted to mention from yesterday's meeting? You had a budget work session after you conducted your business, right?
We did, and that was really just a chance for Rebecca Rossell, our county clerk, who has assisted with that budget forever, and working with, again, Susan Moline.
Mm-hmm.
Becky gave us, and she lays out things so well, gave us probably each five or six folders, different things in there, different deadlines that we have to meet, different statutes, just getting us ready for that budget document that we'll probably be seeing next week. So it was talking about some of the, like I say, the newer legislation that we're all trying to work through, and just that initial look as to what the budget was and where we're at with the elected
what
officials.
What is the county's deadline for submitting a budget?
Well, you know, we try to have our budget wrapped up mid-September, but I think it's the end of September, first of October.
Because the new fiscal year starts October 1st?
Actually, it really doesn't. That's the thing that's really, really confusing.
Okay.
Our fiscal year starts July 1. Figure that out.
Okay.
And that you're looking just like most of us do. And why isn't our budget go earlier and start July 1?
Yeah.
Because of some of the wisdom of people way smarter than me, our legislature and some other people, we don't even get our evaluations of property until we don't have them right now. We won't have them until the next week or two.
Oh,
so we can't do anything as far as levying taxes or that till that time. So it's the time frames set out in state statute really don't mesh together that well. We have over the last probably 30 years or 20 years tried to get those to work a little better. The legislature is working with us trying to make those changes, but it is a complicated process, and there's so many little fingers going out each direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as simple as it looks. So the the simple thing would be, it should be earlier. What happens is we revert to the previous year's budget, okay?
Okay, I was going to ask you, how do you handle it since you don't technically have a budget in effect until mid-September.
Right, reverse to previous year's budget until it's passed.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. That's very interesting. Joe, thanks so much. Appreciate you filling in, Jerry, this morning.
Appreciate you having us. Thank you.
And, now... go forth and work on your 41st, completing your 41st.
There you go.
Was it Michaela said this? You're thinking this is when you finish this term, it's
oh, yes,
probably going to be it.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So if you want to start making your plans, make them now.
Yeah. There's going to be an opening on the board. So if you have any designs, big shoes to fill.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody wants to do that.
3 more years. There's a lot,
you know, you get the comparisons.
A lot of great people out there. They'll do great.
I'm sure somebody will step forward and do a great job. Thank you very much. You have a great day and a great week.
Thank you. Okay.